Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, November 7th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 66, the fourth paragraph. That's the last paragraph on the page. This was our course, reading through that one paragraph only. It goes on to the top of page 67. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Laura R., the 12 Traditions, Dion R., and the readers of the text are Robin P. and Eileen M. The share ID for Wednesday, November 6th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,623. That's 13623. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, November 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 13,631. That's 13631. Our newcomer greeter today is Mary H., and announcements person is Janice P.M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating, overeating, can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Laura.
Thanks, Mo. This is Laura R., compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R., and I will now ask Dion R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Dion. Press star one. Dion, I can't hear you. Dion?
Hey,
can you hear me now?
Okay, there you are. Thank you, Dion. I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Yes, hi, this is DNR, recovered compulsive overeater, reading the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare, 12 traditions of OA. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Okay, here we go. It keeps
Are you having trouble, Dion?
Looks like I am, but I should be able to get it. Let me see.
If someone else is more prepared to do the 12 traditions, could they come on the line, please?
Number one, each member. Okay. Got it? Someone else got it?
Is someone else there?
I can
there?
Do it.
Thank
I,
you.
This please. Is Melanie. I can do that. Yeah, you betcha.
Thank you, Melanie.
I'll start it. Yeah, you betcha. I'll start from the beginning. The 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Melanie, for stepping in there. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and that's the star 1 button on your phone, not the mute button. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 66. The fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page. This was our course, reading through that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Robin P. to begin reading. Good morning, Robin. Star 1 to unmute. Can't hear you, Robin. Is somebody available to read that paragraph?
You need me to read that?
Please do.
Yes. Hi, I'm Deanna, recovered compulsive overeater. This was our course.
Thank
you,
Deanna.
We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick, though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us. They, like ourselves, were sick, too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done." And just thinking about that paragraph out loud, I In my big book, I have it in a corner called The Sick Man's Prayer. I guess someone named that years ago. And it has helped me in so many ways because it reminds me that the same thing I see in someone else is probably it makes me uncomfortable because there's something I need to grow from. I heard someone say that, that it's like you can get uncomfortable when you turn your life over to God. I'll say for me, when it seems like I'll get a growth spurt. My growth spurt sometimes, most of the time, is uncomfortable. And so it seems like my higher power put that person, place or thing, situation in my life for me to grow from it not hold it against that person. You know, it disturbed me, yeah, because I used to think, like, am I always wrong? Do I always got to walk around with my head hung down? Like, oh, well, woe is me. I got to turn the cheek, keep turning the other cheek. And what I like about this program is spiritually, and it helps me realize that I, as well as others, could be spiritually sick. But that doesn't mean that I have to grovel or walk. Let's say one party says we crawl before no one. You know, we do not. I do not have to apologize for depending on my creator. If my creator said he got it, he wants me to do it this way, this works for this complicated compulsive worry, then I'm gonna do it because I see now this is the only way. Many times I balk. I ain't going to do it that way. It doesn't work today, whatever my higher powers suggest. I'll grow through the pain, but afterwards, when I make it through without picking up, ooh-wee, it's just such joy, the joy of it all. And each time I get another dilemma, I'm able to make it through a lot smoother because I know if I don't pick up and I'm following my higher powers will, everything will be okay for me as well as the other person. So it also teaches me not to judge others. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you guys for allowing me to share and be of service to you all.
Thank you, Dion R., for stepping in there. And I will now open the lines up to share on that paragraph, page 66, the fourth paragraph. This was our course. Who would like to share?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Kathy
M. Kathy, who? What was your last initial, Kathy?
S is in Sam.
S, okay. Who's after Kathy?
Audrey
A. I'm. It's garbled.
Audrey
Tanta A.
Audrey. I got Audrey. Audrey
Tanta
A.
A.
Who was after
Tanta
Audrey?
A. Santa
H. I got Santa. I got you, Santa. And one more.
Janice PM.
Got you, Janice. Okay, I got this. If I left anybody out, please be prepared to share on the second round. I have Donna B., Eileen M., Kathy S., Audrey A., Santa H., and Janice PM. All right, Donna B., you're up first. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. It's such a pleasure to be on the line today. So this is our course. This is a sacred pause between the third column and the fourth column in our fourth step. So at this point, I've looked at the person I have a resentment towards. I've looked at why I have that resentment, and I've looked at how it's impacted my own instincts. And before I look at my part, where I've been selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful, I have this opportunity to see that the person I resent and myself are not so different from each other. They, like ourselves, we're sick too. So as I use this prayer, which I use on a daily basis, I am constantly reminded that the people who hurt me and the people who I hurt are wounded. The word sick can sometimes be disturbing to people. I've had people that I've worked with sort of resist that word. And I don't think it has to be a word that we resist. Sick can be anything from a mild flu to terminal cancer. So when I use that word sick in this prayer, I use it in the most generous of ways. To me, it means that we've all been through the ringer. We've all been wounded and hurt. And I like the saying that hurt people hurt people. So this gives me an opportunity to have compassion for the people who I feel have wounded me. And it also gives me an opportunity to have compassion towards myself before I dive into my part in the fourth step. And I continue to do that on a daily basis with my 10 steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Eileen M., followed by Kathy S. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. And I just love this prayer. I mean, to me, this prayer is one of humility because it puts all of us as equals to each other. And, you know, it takes the focus off of the other person and puts it on me. And I'm the only person I can change, of course, you know, with God's help. And I also sometimes have trouble with that word sick. I've also replaced that with imperfect. You know, other people are imperfect or broken, you know, brokenness. And I just love what's been shared so far. You know, other people really are a mirror to me, and they are not much different from me. And I just love it. I love how it's placed so well between column 3 and column 4, as somebody said, because I think if it were not for this prayer, it would be very hard for me to focus on my part. I would be, you know, still carrying the resentment, and it would just make it very hard for me. So I have often added the words where it says, we ask God to help us show them tolerance, pity, and patience. I've added compassion and empathy, and that really helps me to have those, you know, to say those words. And I'm very grateful to have this wonderful tool. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen M. Kathy S., followed by Audrey A. Kathy, good morning. Kathy, star 1 to unmute. Can't hear you.
Okay, thank you. This is Kathy S. I'm from the East Coast, and I'm a very grateful recovering compulsive overeater. This has resonated very much for me. It's not that I resent the person. It's that I don't understand why they don't like me and why they've stopped talking to me. Now, the reason they've stopped talking to me is because I got so addicted to service that my sponsor in another program made me stop all service, everything that I was doing for 6 months. She said, you're pushing something down, and that's the only way that this is going to work. And it did. About 6 days later, I realized that much of the service that I have done over the years was so that people would like me. So this person of all, like, if there's 100 people that have said, Kathy, we understand what you have to do to, you know, get better yourself, and it's, a, you know, blah, 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 it's okay, and everybody's, like, not paying any attention to me, I'm, you know, that's fine. This person is not being very nice. And I've had to realize that I can't make her into God. I have, you know, that, which is sort of, I think, what I've been doing, because I was letting her live in my brain. So praying for her and just realizing that the, you know, God loves me unconditionally, and that if I pray for her, as I've prayed for other people that have, you know, down through the years, I have, they've suddenly, they haven't changed, but I have, and I've been much more tolerant and, as someone said, show compassion. So I'm just so grateful for this program and the other one that I'm in. If this had been 15 years ago and I just had our program, I would have been her. First of all, I would have been doing the service, and secondly, if somebody else had said they couldn't do something, I would have been totally intolerant of why they couldn't do it. So I'm grateful for the recovery that I have. And let's see. So God saved me from being caught up with what this other person thinks of me, because I'm not angry with her. It's more like, oh, you know, pity me. So I have to be very careful and just treat her with tolerance when I am in her company, as happens every once in a while, just to be cordial and leave the door open if that ever happens. But I don't have to go out of my way to try to make her like me. So it's this God's will be done. Thank you very much. Pass.
Thank you, Kathy S. Audrey A., followed by Santa H.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. This is Audrey P. I think I said Audrey so many times I got Audrey A., but it's Audrey P. like Paul.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you for starting this call and everybody participating to make it work. I identified as a newcomer last week, and I'm really overwhelmed by the outpouring of outreach from the members of this group, and they've been really generous, and I'm really grateful. I'm really humbled by it. And yesterday I was on the call, and I think we were talking about resentments, and you know, my food's not clean, and I'm 62 years old. I'm in school. I'm degree seeking. I've had enough recovery. I'm recovered from bulimia for 25 plus years, but I can't seem to get the food thing or my body weight comfortable consistently. and you know, and that's what brings me to my knees. And sometimes I'm willing and sometimes I'm not. And I've been carrying these resentments against these administrators at this school, and they promise things and they don't deliver. And that is like my biggest resentment. And people that promise things, like disappointment is my biggest, trigger is a good word, but when I get disappointed, I hang on to it. And I'm trying to figure out how the school can deliver what they've said. And I'm a non-traditional student, and most of the students could be my children or grandchildren. And, you know, I made a big decision yesterday, and it says we pray for them, but I don't have the recovery that I hear a lot. And so I'm kind of wishing ill will and wrongdoing, and that program should be scraped off the planet. And, you know, that's how I'm starting my day, which is why I needed to get on the phone. It's painful to admit. And if I keep it inside of me, I'm going to pick up today. Mm-hmm. And the thought of being abstinent, I don't know if anybody has this, you know, before you got abstinent, if you can remember the day before you got abstinent, did you go have that one thing that you thought you'd never going to have again and could miss? And I may not be sharing as much recovery. My recovery is picking up the phone and getting my 100-pound iPhone and getting on this call. And I'm really grateful to be able to share this and to plan an abstinent day and to make outreach and hope that God will put in front of me someone that I can get back to work. I can get back to work and get in the book and do the steps with someone, you know, willing to help another. And with this, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey P. Santa H., followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Santa.
Good morning, and good morning to my fellows on the line this morning, and thank a special thank you to those on Team Thursday for making this meeting possible. For me, my name is Santa H., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And what I wanted to share on, and pretty much it was already said, some great, beautiful shares already this morning, is that this prayer has been a transformation in my life as well. For me today, I sit and I have that spiritual pause too after I say this prayer, and I really visualize for me the person being extremely sick. I look at them as perhaps as if they had cancer or a terminal illness or Alzheimer's or mental illness, and it really changes my focus and it softens my heart. How would I treat a person that had that kind of disease, dis-ease going on in their body? And also to think about it today that everyone is going through something. And so just to be a little kinder to each person I meet makes me feel better, but it also makes the other person feel better as well, even though they may not say it, but I just know it in my heart that it does. And so when I'm doing this here prayer definitely is what I say before I do the fourth column, but as it's softening my heart, it really makes me look harder at where I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. It really helps me to look deeper, and it really gives me more humility when I'm doing that sigh, and I really begin to feel the transformation begin after I do this prayer. And it's a wonderful, wonderful prayer. I use it throughout my day. I use it when I'm interacting with people and I need to say it, that they are sick perhaps just like me, and how would I treat a sick person? And thank you for allowing me to share. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Santa H. And before I pick up Janice P.M., I just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 66, the fourth paragraph, bottom of the page. This was our course, reading through that one paragraph only. And I will now call on Janice P.M., and then after Janice, I'll take more names. Good morning, Janice.
Well, good morning to you. I am so hoarse, but that's okay. I hope you can hear me well. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The first two words, this was our course. What does that mean? Well, they had resentments. This is their experience. This is my experience. So what was their course? What does that mean? This is the action that they took to be free from that resentment. And it doesn't happen overnight, but we still got to keep doing the work. So we pray. And when I ever heard that I have to pray for my father's third wife when I know she's out to just get the business, well, how do I know that? You know, I don't know that. And it was very hard for me to do. But I was instructed to go to page 552, and if you like the resentment and you want to keep it, and they say, my sponsors will say, oh, no, I don't want to keep it. I said, well, this is what you do. You go to 552 and you pray for them. And even if you don't mean it, I heard somebody say, I didn't mean it. Of course, I didn't mean it either. You think I did? Because I was too selfish. She's going to take over the business. That's just one example. So on page 552, this book tells me what they did, what their course of action was, and that was to pray. And then people say, well, you know, they said 2 weeks and nothing happened. Well, so do it again. Do it again. And do it again. And I promise you, and the book promises you, that will be taken away, because doing this step, we see that, oh, what part, you know, I was responsible for my jealousy. I was responsible for my intolerance. You know, gee, that's a new idea to pray for them. Well, so we did. So we prayed for them. That was the real course of action to do. And I do that all the time. God bless them, change me. And, you know, a lot of these people that were on my list, you know, they had a lot of good points, but I was blocked. I couldn't see that. So I have the choice to do this or to stay bondage to myself and go through life miserably and eat more, eat more, and eat more. See, these spiritually sick people have the same malady as I do, only they may not have the phenomenon of craving, but they certainly have those mental attitudes, okay. So it's not the person. It's the attitude they have. It's the behavior that they're not hurting me. That's just how they are. And with that, I am going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. And I'll now open the lines up for more to share.
Polly B.
Polly
Diane
B.
from Michigan.
Diane.
Cindy H.
Tamala R. B.
Cindy
Evan B.
Tamala R. P. A. M. Pamela.
Cindy H.
Cindy H.
Evan B.
Who was the first person? I half wrote your name
Kathy
down.
Kathy Joe P.
Who was the first person?
Diane M. from Michigan.
Diane, sorry. Diane, I didn't get it all written down. Diane M. I got you, Kathy Joe. And one more?
Evan B.
Jordan L.
So who was that? Evan? Evan. I got you, Evan.
Jordan, yeah,
I don't know
B.
if I can fit you in. I'll try. I'll put your name down. We'll see how it goes. Okay, we have Diane. Oh, no, there was somebody before Diane.
Polly B.
Polly B, that's what it was. Sorry, Polly. Polly B, Diane M, Cindy H, Pamela R. B, Kathy Jo P, Evan B, and if I can fit you, Jordan, we'll try. Okay, Polly B, you're up.
Good morning. Thank you, Team Thursday, for your service and everyone on the line. Polly B, grateful to be living in one more day of reprieve in beautiful North Carolina. Compulsive overeater, recovered for today. And went through step four, thought I was going through the steps a few times. And as one of our teachers has said, you know, I kept holding on to one resentment in particular and was not recovered. And there was a great special edition that really got to me and helped me see how I could forgive and how I could be free. And even with resentments about things that shouldn't happen, good people, innocent children, genocide, bias, all the things that people didn't deserve to have happen. And that was the concept of victim and victimizer. And the other concept is that I can forgive someone, something, situation that is not the same as condoning the behavior. And that was really important for me. And then to see that by living as a victim, I was continuing to repeat the harm to others that had been done to me because I was withholding, I wasn't honest, I was fearful. So I wasn't showing up to life or to anyone else honestly. And every day I remind myself of that, you know, when I have resentment or fear, that I'm going back to that old way of believing that something was wrong and shouldn't have happened. Yeah, that's true. But when I get into analyzing, defending, rebutting, researching, those are all me taking back my will and closing down to a higher power. So first I have to be humble. And the way I can be humble with these resentments is to say this prayer. Because I have to first be open to a higher power. So I have to pray. If I start back with the ego stuff, I'm closed down. So this prayer helps in, as others have said. We learn later in the book that if we can't believe or even forgive someone, to keep saying the prayer, because at the very least the prayer is going to keep me grounded in today and what I can and cannot do, how I can be of service to others, and most of all, how I can continue to grow my contact with a higher power so that, and it gets easier. The past was hard, but the present is easier, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Polly B. Diane M., followed by Cindy H. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thanks for calling on me. This has been so life-changing for me. I have a history of, as a small child, being sexually abused, and this has been part of my life for my whole life. I'm 64, and I've been carrying it since I was 4 years old, and I've had years of therapy, decades of OA, and nothing would get me to the point of freedom from that until I, through a vision sponsor, took me through the steps again. And I am so grateful for this tool. I started praying for this. Actually, there was a couple different people, but I started praying for them daily, every morning in my prayers. And it's probably been 6 or 8 weeks now. I didn't stop at 2 weeks. I kept praying for them day after day after day. And after probably 3 or 4 weeks, I had complete and total freedom. And I could actually wish them well. And in my prayers, you know, instead of through gritted teeth, praying for them, I can actually say, you know, I just release you to the loving arms of my God. And I'm able to completely let go of that. There was so much confusion about, you know, what responsibility do I have in this? I was 4 years old. This was not my fault. And I lived all my whole life as a victim, and really to the point where I was wearing that as a badge, you know, of whatever. I wouldn't say honor, but like it's what carried me through my life, that anger. And this step and that sick man's prayer and praying daily for these people have really been miraculous in the way that I've found freedom from that. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane M. Cindy H., followed by Pamela R. B. Cindy? Good morning.
Hi, everyone. This is Cindy H. from Kansas City. And excuse me, before I share, I want to thank you all. I have been coming to this meeting for about a month, and I learned so much every time. This particular step, I'm working. I find that when I do this step, the next time I do it, I have to go deeper. And I felt like I had this flowering plant of resentment in my heart toward a family member, and I see that person as very ill. Something is spiritually and mentally wrong with him, and I see him suffering much more than I ever did. So I look at that as pulling those flowers off of that plant of bitterness. And there's still the root there. And so I'm looking at this as just a wonderful opportunity to soften up the ground and pull out that root. I'm 59 years old, and I've been carrying this since I was a child as well. And I see now through this paragraph how to release that for good. It's kind of hard to explain, but I'm suspecting that you all get it. Someone told me once in recovery to pray for that person every day for 30 days, and then if you miss a day, you had to start over. Well, I didn't want to think about this person, so I didn't want to, you know, pray for them. So I had to start over many, many times. But looking at things from another point of view is a healthy thing. And it's a very freeing thing. And I see now that as much as I suffered, that person suffered so much more, and pray that they can someday know the peace that I have and the freedom that I'm enjoying. So I appreciate this paragraph because it's just helped me so much in letting go and not hurting myself to try and get back at them. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Pamela R.B., followed by Kathy Jo P. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Mo. This is Pamela R.P. Pamela R.B. from Detroit, Michigan. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. This is just one of my favorite paragraphs. I say that with everyone, but in particular, this has the emphasis for me of humility, you know. As I read this, it reminds me, it says here, when a person offends, we say to ourselves, this is a sick man, how can I be helpful? But prior to that, it says, we ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. And what I have to remember, too, is that they, like ourselves, are sick, too. So what that reminds me, again, is that, you know, there, by the grace of God, go I. You know, I'm just as sick as the next individual. My responsibility today is to use this book, use this program, use the tools, you know. They may have the, and they feel that they're right in whatever it is that they've done or what they've done to me, but it is today I am responsible to take care of the fallout so that I don't fall back into the negative thinking and the, you know, which will eventually lead to me breaking my abstinence. But today, this is a prayer that is so important because this prayer requires that I become more tolerant. First, it starts with me, which has always been very hard to be forgiving of myself. But I love the way that this whole book is written, especially the first three steps, is to get that relationship with the higher power so that I can get right side up. And once I get that relationship, then I'm able to move that downward so I can get right with the people who are in my life. You know, everybody is, you know, for whatever reason, they are where they are. And I like the fact today that I have learned how to be more tolerant. And in that tolerance, it requires that, you know, I pray, I'm more generous, I'm more compassionate, I'm more kind, I'm more understanding. Because I remember I needed that same amount of grace at some point, and I still do at any given time. But this program, again, has just been indispensable in helping me to grow up in ways that I've never been able to grow up. So thanks for allowing me to share this morning, and everybody have a grateful day. Thanks.
Thank you, Pamela R. Kathy Jo P., you're up next, followed by Evan B.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P. I just reread the text, and number one, I'm not sure if it was the paragraph before this paragraph, but I read that we are looking at this from a new angle. And I really like that, and it speaks to me. And as I recover from my open heart surgery, I found out from a fellow that also had the same surgery that if I put my left arm in or take my left arm out, my bad arm, when I get dressed, it's a lot easier. And so here, I get to look at all these situations from a different angle. And the angle that I was coming from was a very, very selfish, and I'm going to add the word controlling and rigid angle. I saw it my way, and that's the only way that I was able to see it. I was frozen in that posture. But in this program, I am invited for God to melt away that frozenness and the stubborn ways that I showed up. And one of the ways that I showed up is I wanted my father-in-law to fill my God hole. It was his job. And every time I got together with them, if it didn't seem that he was interested in me, didn't give me enough attention, didn't give me the time of the day, I was angry with him. And I walked away from almost every time that I got together with him, and I was mad at him. And when I did my fourth and fifth step, what I learned, number one, was it was not his job to fill my God hole. And when I did my amends to him, and I have shared this before, he cried and he said, I have never seen you so tender. And from that day forward, which was November 2016, we have not had any, zero, crosswords or struggles. And when I see him, I end up walking away from him feeling filled. And that is because I don't show up with an empty God hole. I show up to be of service to him and loving to him. And I am being blessed through and through. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Joe P. So we have 5 minutes left. Evan B. and Jordan L. If you each take about 2.5, that'll work. Evan B., you're up next. Press star 1 to unmute, Evan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, I can now. Thank you.
Hi, this is Evan B., recovering compulsive eater in Los Angeles, California. I really, really love this passage, too. I think for me, the biggest, you know, offender in my life is always aimed inward. You know, I guess I generally cover up a lot of the stuff when it's resentment's outward, but if I was to insert myself into this paragraph and I was to treat myself the way I would a sick friend or treat my body the way I would a sick friend, like I would never do the things that I've done to myself to somebody else. I would never force feed, you know, volumes of food or binge food to somebody who was recovering from compulsive overeating. I would never do that. You know, I would never tell somebody to go eat something when they're already struggling with this issue. You know, I would grant them permission to be safe and to stay away from that stuff and the privilege of doing it. You know, I think that yesterday I was definitely caught in a little bit of the food obsession cycle. And luckily I reached out to some fellows and got my head right, but, you know, it's still definitely in there and it pushes out everything else. So I need to be forgiving, and especially of myself and of my body. And, you know, all of us have an allergy of the body and our bodies are different than other people. And I think it can become really easy to see others doing things and start to resent them. Like, you know, if people at work are eating the whatevers or the, and you're like, why can they do that and I can't? And then that builds that resentment, and then it leads to, you know what? So I think that, you know, for me, I really think it's important just to look at myself and then also my body and say, you know, I'm going to grant you same care I would a sick friend, not allow it to be hurt by the type of eating that's harmful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Evan B. Jordan L., you got about 2.5 minutes. Jordan.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Crestview, Colorado this morning. and super grateful to be on the line. boy, man, this is a tough one. Holy smokes. God, I was just so angry when I came in here, and it felt it was like literally the only emotion I could express. And then luckily I had this sponsor who it wasn't so much about what she said to me, but the way I watched her very closely, and the way that she carried herself in this program was with this open heart. And I got like introduced to that, that the idea here, it's not so much to not be angry. Cause I couldn't like do that on my own willpower. I couldn't just not be angry. Which I thought that was what I was supposed to be doing, was just like not being angry. And that wasn't it. The idea was to change the things I could, right? And I couldn't seem to change the anger, but I could seem to open my heart the same way that my sponsor had, that she was exemplifying for me, right? And so that's where this starts to happen. Is in this third column of the fourth step in praying for the people that we're mad at. I started to understand compassion, which is something like complete and total foreign concept to me when I got here. Completely foreign. But the good news is, like, it's something that we can practice. We don't have to do it perfectly. All we have to do is practice. And I learn more and more and more about it. And it becomes like more and more ingrained, you know? And I start to get to a point where I can exemplify it too for the other people in my life. So with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing, Jordan. And thank you all for your wonderful shares this morning on this very powerful paragraph. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Eileen M. to read a vision for you.
Hi, this is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater, New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.